the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Love has rescued me. Oh, his love. takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The way they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. Of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
The stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground.
And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to you.
Welcome everyone, you are listening to The Hope Show today. Wherever you are listening, whatever network you are listening from. I am so very happy you could join me today. What a beautiful day it is so far. Before I start with the show, I want to thank all the networks out there for broadcasting my shows, and I want to thank all the listeners out there for your continued love and support each week. It's a great feeling, a humbling feeling, and I am honored to be a part of all of your lives. Today, I would like to give you some tips on how you can improve the quality of your life. Most of us already practice a lot of these truths and are already applying them to our lives, but possibly not to the fullest that we could be. But in some degree or fashion, we do lead quality lives. But I want to talk about how to make our lives better and improve what we already have. Life gets so busy, and it's so easy to forget certain valuable principles. There are 9 principles that if we pay particular attention to and apply such things daily to our lives, that we will have a huge impact on those around us, and it will have a huge impact on the quality of our own life. Isn't it ironic, folks, that we look high and low most of our lives for something to build a quality life when it is within us the whole time? 9 words can sum it up. These 9 words are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These 9 words can sum up our life. There is no law against such things. Let these words and the true impact of the meaning of each of these words settle into your brain as I go about the show this morning. How do you think your world would be changed and the lives of all the people around you would be affected if each and every person on earth practiced these 9 things? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It would be a heaven on earth. No more hatred, bitterness, resentment, anger, no more cheating or stealing. People would love one another no matter what. There would not be any of these malicious evil actions or deeds among our people. There would be no wars. The children wouldn't be bullied in school. There wouldn't be all the unhealthy competition that goes on amongst us people. There wouldn't be any greed. Doesn't that sound like a dream? Too crazy to be true. But it's not too crazy to be true, folks. It could actually take place. We could have that. It starts with us individually, and then everyone else to follow suit. No matter where you go or how you spend your day, you can always set the example. Once people get to know you, they will see there is something different about you. Something joyful, loving, at peace, and filled with goodness, and they will want that because it seems to be working for you. Corruption has been around since the dawn of time. It has plagued our nations, and the mass destruction keeps growing in intensity. If we strive to do what is right and just, then we won't allow the evil in our world to be any competition in our own lives. We need to feed our soul with goodness. The evil of the world has a tremendous menu that we can feast and drink from if we choose to do so. If this is the menu which seems more appealing to you, then you can choose from such things as money, power, prestige, addictions, and greed. The results from choosing off of this menu will lead you to hatred, anger, bitterness, resentment, vengeance, an unforgiving heart, and so many other forms of self-destruction. People think that if they seek after these things, that it will bring them happiness. But what looks appealing at first will ultimately lead your soul to feel void, empty, and hollow. It saddens me to think of what people will do at any cost to themselves, their families, and other people to feel satisfied and accepted by the world, and to reach the goals that they have set for themselves. It saddens me to think of what warped opinions people have of success when you ask them what success means to them. people, their thoughts, their opinions, their means of finding success, their ways in believing in certain things, the many ways they function in our world, in my opinion, are a little askew. It would seem more practical to me if people would want to seek out the 9 fruits of life and implement those into your lifestyle. It would seem more satisfying to implement something into our lifestyle that would be more productive, give you true satisfaction, true joy, true peace, true contentment, and security. We can own many things, and we can find much success in life. But without the 9 characteristics of goodness, then evil will still prevail in our world, and you won't truly find the satisfaction, joy, or peace that you so long for in your own life. But the more you hunger and thirst for the right things in life, the more abundant your own life will be. You will enjoy such things as the 9 fruits that I spoke of earlier: love, patience, tolerance of others, forgiveness, support of those you love. There will be no place in your world for prejudice or racism or labeling people. You will find more awareness around you, and you will be filled with a thankful and grateful heart. So I ask you folks, which of these 2 menus to choose from sound more fulfilling to you? The evil, selfish, worldly menu, or the menu based on love and all other things of goodness and unselfishness? I would think the latter of the two would prevail every time. Sure, the first menu seems more fun, seems more satisfying, seems more interesting and exciting, more adventurous. But in the end, which one is going to see you through the test of time? That's the question I ask you today. Which of these will see you through to the test of time? The broad road in life gives much room to pass. You don't have to think too hard about your travels, and you just do what feels right in the moment. The narrow road, however, takes more thought, is a little more tedious to travel. You actually have to think of others and not just yourself. The narrow road takes more work. It isn't always about what you want. It takes much self-control and requires you to be an active participant and caretaker of those around you. But I guarantee you that the narrow road is well worth. I'm going to take a short break and play you a song here, and then I'll be right back.
Forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride, moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness.
Oh, clear the bitterness away. It can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
Everyone, I had a tickle in my throat, so I had to go get a glass of water. I've been battling some sinus issues for the last few weeks. So anyway, to get back on with the show, I'm so glad that everyone could join me today here on the Hope Show. I hope everyone is having a great day so far. Thank you for tuning in with me. Today, the message is about how you can improve the quality of your life. Before the break, we were talking about 9 characteristics that we humans should all strive to live by. Those characteristics are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these 9 fruits of life. I was saying that there are 2 menus in our life to choose from, that we can partake from. The one menu is full of self-righteous actions and deeds, chocked full of ways to self-destruct. The second menu is filled with choices of goodness and leads to a more productive lifestyle. A life of peace and joy, contentment, security, and lots of love, in my own opinion. I want to go into greater detail about each characteristic, dissecting their true meaning and even looking into the warped side of each as well. I want to talk about why it is so important, not only to ourselves, but to everyone around us, that we armor up each and every day with all of these characteristics. Not just a few of your own choosing, not just once in a while, not when it suits us to do so, but every single day with every single one of the 9 fruits. If we only demonstrate certain characteristics and not all of them, it isn't going to work as it's intended to. It is a well-oiled, well-thought-out plan for good living, and to do it any other way, but then all the way, doesn't serve the purpose for our lives and those around us. The first one I want to talk about is love. That is a huge, huge, huge characteristic to armor up with. It is probably the greatest of all. What does love have to do with it, everyone? Everything. Love has to do with everything in our life. Love can build you up, and love can tear you down, like the song says. Love can be a driving force for nearly anything in our life, but it also can be a means of destruction if used in the wrong sense. So what is love? In the Webster's Dictionary, it means many different things. It is a profoundly tender, passionate, affection for one another. It's a feeling of warmth or personal attachment, a deep affection for someone, such as a parent, a child, or a friend. It can be a sexual desire for someone we are in a relationship with. It can be used as an endearment or term of affection for someone, such as sweetheart or love. Love is an affectionate concern for the well-being of others, such as neighbors, friends, co-workers, children, a spouse, a sweetheart, siblings, and yes, even total strangers. Love can be a strong enthusiasm for such things as books, movies, a favorite sport, or other things of interest to us. If you are a believer, there is the love of our great Creator. Love is freely given without compensation. Love is given graciously and with mercy, just for the sake of love. Where there is love, many other blessings flow from and follow with, such as tenderness, fondness, warmth, passion, friendliness, and adoration. Love also means having an enduring emotional regard for another person. Love means devotion, and this means to have an intense love, one that is steadfast, and something that is loyal to another person. So you see, love touches every area of our lives, and without love, we won't be healthy, and it's difficult to survive without knowing love. Love is expressed as an action and experienced as a feeling. Love is surrounded by such qualities as compassion, determination, tolerance, endurance, support, faith, and so, so much more. So why is love one of the most important things in this world that we can experience and share with others? Love is the foundation for so many things in life. Love is shared between family, spouses, partners, friends, neighbors, community, in our career field, in our churches, and in all humanity. Love is found in the passion for the things that we do in life, including work, hobbies, volunteer work, and such. Love happens when you are at your most creative state of mind, when you're in a zone or on a roll, going with the flow. Love happens when you embrace the world around you. Love happens when you acknowledge how awesome this world is, when you look beyond all the evil of the world and you see all of its intricate workings and how complex life really is. Love is found in watching nature, spending time with babies, spending time with your companion pets, watching a sunset, a sunrise, or a rainbow. Love can be seen in the changing seasons and how the wildlife scamper about with each other. Love can be seen and felt in all living beings in the world. Love is at its most giving when you do for a complete stranger that you may never see again. Love is felt in all of its splendor when your heart is open to all the beauty and wonder of people, the world, things and events that surround you. True love is unconditional. You can't earn it. It just is. You can't choose who you're going to love. You just love. When true love is given, you shouldn't ask for anything in return. If you expect something in return, then you aren't talking about real love at all. It then becomes a transaction between two people. Love wants the best for others. Love doesn't have stipulations. Love enhances our lives and our well-being. Love is having tolerance for everyone on this earth. No matter how they act, no matter who they are, no matter what they say or do, love and tolerance for everyone on earth. This means that you cannot proclaim to love this person and yet in the next breath say you hate a particular person and or type of person. Love is not a contradiction. Love means accepting people for who they are and not who you want them to be. Love doesn't judge. Love accepts differences in people and the choices people make for their own lives. Love means loving people who don't love you. When hate is given to you, shake it off. Shake it off with love. Use someone's hatred as motivation to show tolerance, kindness, and acceptance of all people. People who hate need our compassion probably more than anybody else in this world. This hate that you see in people is generally because they lack self-respect, they're easily aggravated by all things, things aren't going their way, and they lack love for themselves. So these people take it out on the ones that try to love them. They just have anger in their hearts. And they don't know how to get it out. They don't know how to express it properly. Sometimes love is about accepting the risk of being hurt or losing something or someone very dear to us. Love is being empathetic with other people. You have to put yourself in their shoes. We must try to understand what direction they are coming from in their beliefs and their feelings. Love is listening and paying attention to people, making time for people, even when you're feeling rushed. Love means forgiveness of those around you. Love, above all other things, is the gift of giving yourself to another. By sharing love constantly, you create a loving environment, and you will inspire others to love each other as well. The more people who love in this world, the more this will mean endless forgiveness for this world, a willingness to give people second chances. It's a commitment to move humanity in a forward direction. It's a commitment to strive for greater harmony. When we give love unconditionally to all of our brothers and sisters alike, we are giving the best of who we are for the name of love. We transcend our own selfish motivations into truly seeking to appreciate other people. Love happens when you start to see the world and the people of the world more clearly, seeking unity and harmony with one another. When you seek to reach those compromises, when you make room in your own world to find a way so that all your fellow brothers and sisters can move forward together, including everyone, and not leaving one person behind. When it's no longer all about you, just your own ego, then you're loving. Love is so fundamental. It's the foundation of all other things in your life. It's probably the most important fruit of living a quality life. I can't emphasize enough how very important love is for all living beings, whether it is two-legged or four-legged. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break. Be sure to stay tuned in to hear more about what we can do to lead more productive lives. Everyone, I'm so happy that you can join me today. I want to thank all the networks out there that broadcast my show all over the world. It is such an honor to have the opportunity to touch so many lives with my Hope Show. This world desperately needs hope. If you're just tuning in today, my show is about how you can improve the quality of your life with 9 positive, productive words. These 9 fruits of quality living are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Before the break, we were talking about love and how important it is to our survival and our well-being. Again, I ask you, what does love have to do with it? Everything! Everything, folks! Love is everything. The next topic I want to talk about is joy. So what is joy? The dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Having joy in your heart is to feel rejoice. Joy is also described as a feeling of delight, triumph, gladness, glee, exhilaration, elation, a feeling of euphoria, bliss, just to name a few. So where does joy fit into the importance of experiencing a quality life? People like to talk about joy and happiness in the future tense. How many times have you heard someone say, "If I could find the right woman or the right guy, I would be happy. If I could only win the lottery, I would be happy." But joy and happiness isn't a circumstance you wait for. You make it happen. Joy is faith. Joy is being satisfied with who you are, where you are right now, and where you're going. Joy is all about you, and it's up to you whether you will experience true joy or not. Joy doesn't require anyone else's approval. It doesn't require anyone else's validation or even their permission. Your own joy and happiness is one of the very few things in this world that you have complete control over. Sometimes making joy happen for ourselves and making the conscious choice to make joy a part of our lifestyle, not just an option, but a choice that you will make it happen no matter what, takes a lot of hard work, but no one else can make you feel or experience joy. Life is like a roller coaster. The demands and the pressures on all of us can be very overwhelming at times. But what do you think that the answer is for that? The answer is you need to learn to slow down, calm down, stop stressing, and have some faith. You need to get rid of the things that are bogging you down, the things that are causing you too much stress, that you can't even find joy each day. The only way to slow down and calm down is to start eliminating some things from your lifestyle. If you find yourself meeting yourself coming and going, your schedule is just absolutely insane, then learn to say no once in a while. Learn to live without something. Is it really, really necessary for there to be so many things in your life that take up so much of your time? Are you a workaholic? Learn to set boundaries for yourself. Set a time when you will quit for the day and stick to your guns. Find time for the things that you enjoy, a hobby that you currently have no time for. Take a vacation. Take just one day off and plan to do something that you want to do for yourself. Relax that day. Find time to even take a nap. Learn the concept that the world wasn't built in one day. And whatever you think is so vitally important can probably be put off to another day. I used to be an extreme perfectionist. I used to have my long to-do list that had to be completed and checked off on my little notepad each night before I went to bed. Not one thing could be left incomplete. I would drive myself crazy and frantic all day long, rushing around to be the perfect mom, the perfect spouse, the perfect house cleaner, the perfect cook, the perfect everything. Now what do I have to show for all that craziness some 20 years later? I have a brain and a body that is completely and utterly exhausted, and I have aged before my time. And that is all I have to show for it, other than my incredible daughter and my amazing husband. Take my advice. The world will not crash in on you if you hold something over, a task, until tomorrow, or perhaps even the next day. I guarantee you, the work won't go anywhere, folks. It will still be there when you get back. But what I'm trying to emphasize is that life is too short to be driving yourself crazy, worrying over every little thing, forcing your body beyond its limitations, staying up all night, working multiple jobs, stressing over things that you have absolutely no control over in the first place. Hurrying from one place to another, always living on the edge. You ask yourself, how do I know so much about these things? Because I have done all of these things. And let me tell you, I was lacking some true joy and happiness. I was too busy to smell the roses, to take time to appreciate the small things in my life, to appreciate all the beauty that surrounds us every day. Folks, fellow brothers and sisters, my advice to you is don't follow in my footsteps. Enjoy your life. Take time to experience your life. Take time to participate in your life. One of the biggest challenges to finding true joy and happiness, two of the key elements, is finding peace with yourself and liking yourself. The way we value ourselves determines how we will treat ourselves and others. It determines how we judge success or failure, the choices we make, and the people we will even spend time with. It also determines how you will allow other people to treat you. The road to great self-esteem is often a long road, and the journey can seem almost impossible at times. But it is worth the hard work it takes to obtain it. Once you like and love yourself, then you are in a great position to experience joy as you have never experienced it before. Then you can share your joy with everyone around you, and you can teach them how to find true joy for themselves. You can mentor your fellow brothers and sisters. Just remember, you can find the peace and joy you're looking for. There are many ways that you can balance out your life. No one is perfect, and no one lives a perfect lifestyle. But each of us have the opportunity to find what is perfect for us. I have a quote I'd like to share with you. The quote comes from a man named Benjamin. He says, "The greatest good that you can do for another is not just to share your riches with someone else, but to reveal to them what their riches are. The greatest good you can do for another is not just to share your riches with someone, but to reveal to them what their riches are. The feeling of helping someone is in itself a very joyful experience. When we humble ourselves and show humility, when we take time to reach out to another soul in need, that brings an overwhelming sense of joy to my heart. And it should to yours as well, folks. Probably one of the best feelings in the world is not when you give something concrete, such as money or some other object, but when you make someone else feel good about themselves, what they have, and the type of person that they are. People tend to be insecure at best. People can be insecure about their jobs, their relationships, about themselves as a person. People can be very needy. We all need to feel love, attention, joy. We need to feel secure, and we need to feel much reassurance that we're doing the right things. We need to feel useful. We need to feel as if we have a purpose in life. We need acceptance from somewhere. People need unconditional help and genuine praise. These things must come from the heart, though. This actually ties into love as well. Joy and love go hand in hand. Sharing and helping people is like magic. There is gratification and blessings for both involved. Joy is a major goal in our lives. Some of these goals are tied directly to such things as the need for intimacy, the need to be loved, to be connected, to have a job, a little money in our pocket perhaps, a house of our own, or an apartment to establish our own space and make us feel independent. In one way or another, when any one of these goals are met, it fulfills a need in us and we experience joy. But let us not forget the joy that comes from just experiencing and loving life in general. What you really, really have, or excuse me, when you really, really have true love and joy in your life, you can't help but want to share it with your fellow brothers and sisters. However, before you share anything with anyone, you truly have to have it yourself. You can't share something you don't have. Joy isn't always easy to obtain. You may have to really work at having it. It is kind of a slippery slope, folks. One minute you think you have it, and the next thing you know, some circumstances came up and knock the wind right out of your joyful sails. It happens. Joy can be considered an event in your mind. Joy can be captured best when you aren't looking for it or pursuing it at all. Joy creeps up on us when we least expect it. Joy is a given when we pursue other goals in our life and we meet other goals in our life. Joy is never an end product. It is a byproduct of what goes on around us. Joy happens when we don't put all of our focus on it. Joy happens when you participate in life. If you're a believer, in John 15, it says, you must love. You must lay down your life for your friends and your neighbors. You must bear good fruit and become a disciple of Christ. John 15 also goes on to say that Jesus says, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. Love each other as I have loved you. Folks, we can share and experience true love among all of our fellow brothers and sisters by loving each other, treating each other with respect and dignity and integrity. Even if we don't particularly like each other, we can still commit ourselves to each other's growth. Yes, it may inconvenience us. It may change our plans. It may deprive us of something personal, It may test our patience, and it will most certainly stretch us. But it will also show people what we are truly made of. When they see the goodness, the joy, the love, and all the other fruits that we want, or that we have, they're going to want it for themselves. You will help bring people in harmony with each other by your deeds. We can become vehicles for navigating other people to true joy. Lead by example, folks. I can't stress that enough. Lead your life by example. I'm going to play us another tune, and I'll be right back. I have so much to cover, so I'm trying to squeeze in less songs today. Here we go. Welcome back, everyone. Wow, what a message this has been so far. I am so excited that all of you could be a part of the Hope Show today. It really means a lot to me. If you were just tuning in, we're talking about how to improve the quality of our lives. There are 9 key elements. These are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So far, we have covered love and joy. Now I want to talk about peace. What is peace? Peace can mean many things to many people. Peace can mean an agreement to end all hostilities between the nations and throughout the entire world. Stop the wars. Peace is a state of mutual harmony between people or groups of people, such as between neighbors. Peace can mean public order and security. Peace is freedom from all strife. Peace is a silence, a stillness. But the peace I want to talk about today on my show is the freedom of the mind from such things as annoyances, distractions, anxiety, and obsessions. To have a tranquil and serene mind. True peace is an inner sense of contentment and quietness, regardless of life's circumstances. It is a steadfast confidence in our faith that all things will work out for our greater good in the end. Peace is the presence of joy in the midst of a world of unhappiness. That is so important. Let me say that again. Peace is the presence of joy in the midst of a world of unhappiness. So when do you know if you have true peace? You will know that you have genuine peace when you can endure an avalanche of hardships and difficulties and still enjoy an inner peace that surpasses all other understanding. Does perfect peace mean that you'll never experience the effects of the storms that rage around us every day? Absolutely not, folks. But peace, like a river flowing through us, is complete. It is adequate and sufficient for all things that we will face in our life. There are 3 keys to experiencing sustainable peace. First, you must focus on what it is that you believe, whatever that may be. Peace comes from when you fix your mind in accordance to what you know to be true. If you are a believer, then fix your sights on God. You must discipline your mind. Is it not true that everyday problems seem to grow bigger and get more out of control when you spend too much time focusing on those problems? In the same way, you will experience a greater sense of inner peace if you stay focused on the positive and not the negative. Secondly, you must trust in whatever you believe and have faith in that. It is my personal belief that everything comes to be in God's perfect timing and not our own time. People are so impatient. We want instant gratification, but not everything we want is actually good for us. And what may seem like a really good plan at the time turns out not to be such a good plan at all. Our ideas, our plans, can actually backfire on us from time to time. Thirdly, I suggest you meditate. Find your inner peace through meditation. Peace of mind transpires when you let go of certain baggage from your past that limits you from growth and joy. You must give up certain things in your life to move forward and to find peace within. Here are a few things to let go of. Old regrets and excuses. Boy, don't we all have those. But we must learn to let go of them to move on. We must let go of the burning desire to have all the answers in life. The false hope of having an ideal life, one without pain, suffering, or hardships. There is no such thing. You must let go of the ties that bind you to insensitive people and negative people. People who hinder your growth or ridicule and mock you for not doing the same things or believing in the same things that they do. People who won't accept you for who you really are. You must stop obsessing over negative news and what the media tells you. You must let go of the belief that you can measure your success by material wealth. You must stop fretting over what you don't have and learn to be thankful and grateful for all that you do have. Remember, things change, people and circumstances come and go. Life doesn't stop for anybody. Life moves very fast. It rushes from calm to chaos in the matter of mere seconds. You must have discipline and self-control to keep our inner peace at all costs. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you truly felt at peace? When was the last time you felt calm and found yourself in complete relaxation? Are these things few and far in between in your lifestyle? Or do you make that a priority, a non-negotiable part of your lifestyle? If you can't remember when the last time you felt at peace with yourself, then you seriously need to de-stress your life, because it is toxic to you as it is. Here are 5 simple suggestions for finding peace in a stressed out world. 1. Try and count your blessings. One can't stay worried and stressed out while you're counting your many blessings each day. And you may have to repeat and remind yourself often throughout the day of your blessings. Replace your stressful thoughts with thoughts of blessings. 2. Breathe. Just breathe. Stress makes your breathing become rapid and shallow. It increases your heart rate. Your muscles become tense. How can anyone find inner peace and keep it with all of that activity going on in our bodies? Sit up straight and take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold it for a moment, then exhale slowly through your mouth. And folks, if you don't believe that it works, then try it, because it does. And it's also very good for panic attacks. 3. Sometimes we're guilty of making our own lives stressed out. How many of us are guilty of that? I know sometimes I am. We nag ourselves about not getting things done or doing it right. You regret doing this or you wish you'd done that. You become your own worst enemy. Learn to accept that you can't change your past, and you can't always change other things either. So, we must learn to accept all those things for what it is. Get over it and move on. 4. We need to try to avoid stressful influences as much as we possibly can. There is always going to be negative people in our lives. These people are notorious for being negative about everything. If you listen to them very long, you start to feel stressed out yourself. You start to feel tense. Sometimes they even give you a headache. But one simple way to find peace from all of this is to excuse yourself from the conversation, turn off the television or the radio, cancel your news subscription. Do whatever you have to, but escape these stressful influences that rob you of your inner peace. And my 5th suggestion, laugh. Laugh loud, laugh big, laugh hearty. Laughing diffuses stress. The best time to laugh is when you don't feel like it. A person can turn painful situations around through laughter. Laughter is the best medicine. If you can find humor in your situation, then you can most definitely find the way to survive it. Don't let people, situations, circumstances rob you of inner peace. Fight for it with all you got. The next topic up for discussion on how you can improve the quality of your life is patience. Phew, that's a biggie. Patience. We could all benefit by learning some patience. Myself included. I admit, patience is not my best virtue, though I diligently pray to have more and more patience each and every day. They say if you don't receive, it is because you have not asked. So brothers and sisters, knowing I need a lot of work in this area, I ask to have more patience all the time. I have to say that I am so much better than I used to be, but there is still a lot of room for improvement in my life. So what does the dictionary say about patience? The dictionary defines it as being able to bear annoyance, misfortune, pain, being without complaint, being without temper, not losing your temper, irritation, and such things. Patience is summed up by an ability or a willingness to suppress restlessness and to confront delays. It is a quiet, steady perseverance, an even-tempered care and diligence. Patience means keeping composure, stability, calmness, demonstrating persistent courage under trying circumstances. Patience takes a lot of self-control, takes a lot of discipline, and courage, and strength in character to succeed at winning that battle. We are all familiar with the saying that patience is a virtue, right? But why is patience a virtue? Well, first off, you might want to know what virtue is. Virtue is a conformity to moral and ethics. Virtue is an admirable quality. So with that having been established, patience is supposed to be an admirable quality in each and every one of us. Patience is supposed to be a positive conformity to certain morals and ethics. So to improve on that definition of patience, it means we're supposed to endure discomfort without complaining. This calls for other virtues, other admirable qualities, to be used, such as self-control, humility, and generosity. In all things, we should be patient. Oh my goodness, that is a big one. How many of you out there can say that you have patience? That you're really good at being a patient person? We should show one another grace and mercy. Sometimes this can take a lot of self-control and generosity on our parts as humans. But we are to accept one another and navigate through life with patience toward our fellow brothers and sisters, showing them leniency for their faults and their shortcomings. We are no better than the next. We have our own shortcomings. No one, and I say no one, is without flaw. Everyone falls short of the glory. And not one of us should judge the other or cast the first stone upon each other. Patience is love, humility, and humbleness. It is showing someone grace and mercy that they may or may not deserve, because it's the right thing to do. You don't know what is going on in someone else's life. We all need to learn more patience. This is probably one of the biggest areas in all of our lives that could use lots of extra work and tending. The world is filled with impatient people. But where does that get us, folks, really? Where does that get us? By being impatient with one another? Really? We get angry. We bicker. We get hateful for no good reason. We put each other in harm's way with our actions. We even say mean things that we later regret. And what about those people with road rage? Boy, I am here to tell you, those people need to learn some patience. They pass you as if they are driving in the Indy 500 race, just to get ahead of you because they are in such a hurry. Then you get behind them at the stoplight, or you see them pulled over by the police officer for speeding, or they get involved in a car crash with someone. Why? All because they want ahead of you. They are in a hurry. But seriously, folks, what did that gain them? A few seconds? A few minutes? Maybe they end up even later to wherever they were going. Because now they're pulled over. And they're further detained for whatever reason. You just gotta love those folks. You just gotta love them. But seriously, folks, we are all called to carry one another's burdens and to love one another at all times, not just sometimes, not just when it suits us, not when we have the time, but all the time. Not just when it's convenient, but all the time. Life is in a big enough hurry without adding more stress to it. What is the rush? Really, ask yourself, what is the rush? Why do we do this to ourselves? Slow down, enjoy and accept your fellow brothers and sisters. Take time to relax, calm down, stop stressing out, and learn to have some patience, folks. This is another way that we can greatly improve the quality of our own life. I'm going to go ahead and play you another song. Hope you enjoy it.
Never more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's Hope Show has been about how to improve the quality of your life using 9 fundamental key elements. I'm glad you've decided to join me today. It has been a fabulous show so far. Thank you all for being a part of that. I sincerely love each and every one of you, and it is my honor to be a part of you doing good work in your life. It is an honor to be able to help so many individuals in this world and give them hope, courage, love, and to share the faith with all of you. Each and every one of you are amazing individuals. I don't want to let one opportunity slip by to reach out and help someone with wherever they are in their journey of life. I want to be able to reach out and love you, support you, give you suggestions, give you some tools and knowledge that you may have not thought of. They say that two minds are better than one. But with all this said, I'm going to go ahead and continue on with my show because I still have a lot of ground to cover before my show time is up. Now I want to talk to you about the importance of kindness in our lives and in the lives of those that we touch. We've talked about kindness in some of my previous shows. Kindness is a behavior. It is to show favor with. It's a friendly feeling, an action or a deed. Kindness is also associated with generosity, sympathy, humanity, compassion, and tenderness. Our goal, fellow brothers and sisters, should be to inspire others to practice kindness and pass it on to everyone that they meet. We should lead by example in all areas of kindness. I want to read a poem about kindness that I found. I want to share this with you. It really touched my heart. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose all things. You must feel the future dissolve in a moment. You must lose what you have, what you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved. This must all go, so that you know how desolate the landscape can be. The path you have been forced to take can seem to stretch on and on, as if it will never end. You think this destitution will go on forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where no man should have to. You must see how this could be for you. Each and every one of us are someone, too, who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept us all alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing inside. You must wake up to sorrow. Speak of it until you lose your voice. Then, it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties our shoes and sends you out in the day to mail letters for someone or to purchase bread for someone. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, it is I that you have been looking for, and then goes with you everywhere you go, like a shadow, like a friend.
Jesus rides the subway with the junkies and the freaks. And Jesus rides the subway with the hustlers and the creeps. He rubs shoulders with the thieves, and he looks a lot like everyone. Oh, Jesus rides the subway while the pretty people sleep. He says you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down. But oh, maybe you can kick around. Jesus strolls the sidewalks on the wrong side of the tracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks that poverty exacts. Makes his home among the shacks, where the fatherless have fallen through the cracks. Yeah, Jesus strolls the sidewalks while the righteous turn their backs. He says you can lay your burden down. Your burden down. Oh, baby, you've been kicked around. But you can lay your burden down. Jesus went to church on Sunday. He sat in the back and sang the hymns. But
Jesus went to church on Sunday, but they didn't recognize him. He said, you can lay your burden down. You can lay your burden down.
Folks, fellow brothers and sisters, I truly, truly, truly love that song. That has to be one of my favorite songs. It's a wonderful, wonderful song with an amazing and powerful message. And I believe that each and every one of us should strive to do, you know, and be the type of person that this song lays out for us. It just, I think it's a wonderful, wonderful a message about living and how we should take care of each other, love each other, find joy with one another, find peace with one another, have patience with one another, build each other up, show kindness and respect for each other, and all of these wonderful things that we should be doing. I want you to try some of these random acts of kindness that I thought of. I believe that your blessings will abound. The reward is not what you get in return, but what you have given without asking for anything in return. That is where your true blessing will be. Try this week. Buy someone coffee. Buy and deliver groceries to someone who is in need of food. Make a homemade card for someone you care about, just to let them know you're thinking of them. Call someone you haven't talked to in a while. Call your parents. Tell them that you love them. Give up your seat for someone. Ask to take someone to a doctor's appointment or run some errands for them. Cook a meal and deliver to someone who isn't feeling well. Fix someone's car. Mow somebody's lawn. Open a door for someone. Share something with someone. Praise and compliment people. Do some volunteer work. Offer to babysit for someone. Smile at someone. Say hello in passing. Donate your hair to Locks of Love. Helping other people help to improve your own quality of life and the lives of those around you. Please, I encourage you this week, try some random acts of kindness throughout your week. And not just one or two things. Make it a point to do several things in one day. See how many acts of random kindness you can do throughout the week and see how that affects your life and those that you meet. The next topic is goodness. Goodness and kindness kind of fall into the same category. The definition for goodness is moral excellence, a virtue or admirable quality. Other words associated with the definition of goodness are integrity, honesty, uprightness, a quality of character and conduct, something steadily maintained, often in spite of temptations or evil influences, Goodness is firm and unwavering. Goodness is worth and value. What do you think of when you think of the word goodness? Goodness refers to something that meets a certain standard or criteria, that meets a certain someone's expectation. Goodness may mean many different things to people, such as a good book, a good experience, a good friend, and so on. However, it is believed that there is one common denominator for all. A good deed benefits someone in some way. Goodness is an act of kindness. Being a good friend means you're dependable. Having a good heart means that you are sincere and honest and of good moral. We are called to be of great benefit to one another rather than being a great harm to each other. Goodness must be constantly tended to. We can't just be good once and expect that to be enough. We need to sow goodness continually so that goodness will be expressed in our lives instead of our old selfish ways. If we dwell on such evil things as envy, jealousy, worries, and fears, just to name a few, I guarantee you folks, we will reap what we sow. But if we sow goodness all the days of our lives, then goodness is what we will reap. Do the right thing. Moving on, let's talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness is defined as being true to one's word, his or her promises, steady in loyalty to one's beliefs, to another person, or to one's country, remaining constant, reliable, trusted, and believed. Faithfulness is sticking to true facts, a certain standard of accuracy. Faith is having a strong belief in something, having hope for a better future. So why is faith so important? And faithfulness, why is that so important? These two words go together hand in hand. This is yet another fundamental fruit for relationships and responsibilities. If you are a believer, the thing that we most want to hear when our time is up is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Are we faithful? Do we have faith? Do we share that faith and faithfulness with everyone we come into contact with? How do you think you would rate among your friends and family? What would they have to say about you if someone asked them if you are faithful and full of faith? In the world in which we live, it is becoming increasingly harder each and every day to find someone whose love and loyalty can be counted on, relied upon. It's very sad, but it's very true. Families and marriages are becoming a major casualty, a sign of the times. No one wants to commit to a lifetime with someone, even though they say it when they marry. They don't really understand the meaning of that. A lifetime with someone, for better or worse, through sickness and in health. The loyalty, the faithfulness of committing to another, committing to yourself, for better or worse, through sickness and health. That is a huge, huge commitment. Probably one of the greatest commitments you'll ever make to yourself or to someone else. Here are some truths about faithfulness that I want to share with you from some research I've done over the last couple of days. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much. Let me tell you, fellow brothers and sisters, irresponsibility is never overlooked. We must all prove our trustworthiness, even in the smallest of duties that we are asked to do. If you can't be trusted with even the smallest of things, who do you think will entrust you with the larger things? We should each be just as careful, and even more so, with someone else's property as we would be with our own. Faithfulness includes perseverance, and perseverance is the key to success in everything. Everything. When this life is over, we should all be able to look back in the moments before our time is up, and we should all be able to say, in all honesty to ourselves, I have fought the good fight. I finished, and I kept my faith. Keeping the faith and being faithful to someone or to a certain cause is very, very important. It is a powerful virtue to have. And you should share that virtue with everyone you meet, as long as you are on this earth. The eighth key fruit to quality living is gentleness. Gentleness. Even though we should all know what gentleness means you live your life not being severe, not being rough or violent with those around you. Gentleness means that you are of mild manner, soft-hearted, polite. Gentleness means that you remain calm, to soothe something. Gentleness is peaceful, humane, lenient, and merciful. There is an absence of bad temper when you're gentle. There is meekness and a submissive spirit. If you are gentle, you are docile, tame, quiet, and courteous. Sometimes gentleness is thought to be a weakness, but there is strength in gentleness. Gentleness is a strong hand with a soft touch. It is a tender, compassionate approach to other people's weaknesses and their limitations. A gentle person speaks truth. Yes, sometimes painful truth. But he guards the tone of his voice he uses so that the truth can be well received, that it does not bring hostility and defensiveness in others. As I said many times, gentleness can be mistaken for weakness, but that is a huge, huge misunderstanding. One should never assume anything. Let me ask you, do you convey gentleness to your fellow brothers and sisters? Do you do it on a regular basis? If not, I encourage you to practice it daily and implement it into your lifestyle. And the last of the nine fruits is self-control. To use self-control is a very, very, very difficult task indeed. It takes a lot of self-discipline. And many brothers and sisters don't have much of either. Most people don't have a lot of self-control or self-discipline. To have self-control, you must be able to discipline yourself to being able to restrain your actions, your feelings, and your deeds. This takes a lot of willpower and level-headedness. This is no small task at all. Some can master it in some small way, while others may spend a lifetime trying and still not being able to get it right. Some of us have more willpower, self-discipline, and patience than others of us. But even if you are the one, especially if you are the one, who lacks patience, willpower, self-control, and self-discipline, you better start working on that right away. And keep persevering until you get a grasp on that. But to lead a quality lifestyle, you are going to need it, and lots of it. Have you noticed that all the 9 key elements overlap one another? For example, you can't experience gentleness without patience. You can't experience patience without self-control. You can't experience kindness and goodness without love. You can't experience joy without peace. All these things are entwined and bound to one another. Not one of them will work by themselves. You can't experience any of them without all of them. They are one in the body, there to improve the quality of your life, if only you would grasp hold of every one of them and make them work together in perfect unison for your life. It doesn't stop with just you, though. By implementing these qualities in your lifestyle, it not only affects you, but will affect the world around you. It will affect your relationships, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your community, your church, your schools, and it doesn't even have to stop there. Here in a moment, I want to invite my husband, Shaziz, to come in and join me. But before that, I want to say, if every single person in this world would start living by these guidelines, can you imagine what the world could be like? The solution is simple. 9 little words that hold so much power and possibility for change. The work to be done in each and all of us, all around us, to gain success, that is not so simple. I'll say that again. The solution is simple. Using the guidelines of those 9 little words and what they mean. They hold so much power and possibility for change. But the work that must be done within each and every one of us, and for those around us, that is not always simple. It would seem almost impossible, yet it is not. You just have to want it bad enough, folks. You just have to want it bad enough. But when I personally consider the options we are faced with today, those seem like the best options for me, for my life. By making the appropriate changes in myself, I can be that example to other people. I can be that positive influence, the positive ripple in the water. I can help lead others to have that same kind of life that we are all meant to have, so that we don't just all have to settle for what we get. At this time, I'd like to turn my show over to my hubby Shaziz for his final comments.
It's a really good show, really good advice. To put it short and sweet, live life and love and lead by example. You can't do any better than that. So with that said, I'll give the show back to Beverly. She's doing a wonderful job. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Thank you, dear, for your contribution to the show today. That was very well said. It's time for me to start wrapping up my show for today. I hope each and every one of you will have a very blessed week. I hope each and every one of you will take away something from today's message. Will take these things to heart. I hope that each and every one of you will make that commitment to do better, be better, behave better, respond better. So with that said, folks, I'm going to leave you with some tunes. Until we meet again, next Saturday, same time, same place, here on The Hope Show. God bless each and every one of you. I love you.
Bye. used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. See, I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in life I must achieve. But first I know it starts inside of me. Oh, oh, if I can see it, then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. Oh, I believe I can fly. Hey, 'cause I believe in you. Oh, if I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to.
come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We could go on pretending day by day that the one somewhere will soon make a change. We all a part of God's great big family. And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are. We are.
So we all must lend a helping hand.